This is my daddy's sermon called Mama Knows Best. Enjoy it.
So we are who we are because of the women who have loved us. All of us have experienced love from women. They weren't always perfect. They made mistakes. They didn't always match up to our high standards. They couldn't possibly meet all of our needs. But they loved us. They believed in us when we didn't even believe in ourselves. And so on Mother's Day, we remind ourselves, we are who we are because of the women who have loved us. And when I think about this great chorus that runs throughout all of our lives, I think about my Grandma Betty. And I think about the patience and persistence my Grandma Betty had as she taught me how to read as a young boy. I kicked, I screamed, I didn't want to learn those big words. But she made me stick with it. And that has made all the difference in my life. I think about my second grade teacher, Miss Diltz. Miss Diltz had this program that if you got a 10 out of 10 on the spelling test, you got a gold star. And if you got 10 gold stars, you got a double scoop of whatever kind of ice cream that you wanted. So I got my 10 stars right away, of course. And I got my bubblegum double scoop ice cream. And I saved all my little bubblegums in a little cup and I took them home, hoping to make them last. They lasted an hour. So Miss Diltz, another woman who has influenced my life. And then I think about middle school and those awkward years of middle school and my attempt to be the class clown of Huron Middle School. And I think about two teachers in particular. On your right is Miss Valone. Now, Miss Valone is known for giving Dale Fredrickson the most lunch detentions ever given at Huron Middle School, 25 days in a row. But she made me grow up and be a little serious. Miss Wilson on her left was my English teacher, and Miss Wilson saw through this mask that I put on of the class clown and taught me how to write a 5-paragraph essay. She taught me about great literature and how it could sustain you whatever you did in life. And then I think about the moms of my best friends in high school. And I think about Juanita Kite, who, from the right to the left here, Juanita has this wise, calming effect. She has the ability always to give you wise answers when you are in need. And she also makes the best French toast in the Denver metro area. And I think about Helen Koenig. Helen drove us everywhere. Every basketball game that ever was, we drove in the Koenig minivan and had a blast. Helen kept us out of trouble when all we could think of was trouble. And then I think about Vicki Knudsen. Vicki Knudsen gave me the greatest gift that any mom can give someone, this 2,412-page study Bible that I would not understand the significance of for years to come. But she also did something else. She passed on to me a vibrant and lively Christian faith. She worked through the pages of the Bible with me, in particular Job, which I had a lot of questions about. And then I come to my mom. No words can describe my mom's investment into my life. Working 2 to 3 jobs as a single mom of 3 boys, she has given so that I could be where I am today. Then, of course, I think about my wife, Stacy. This is the early days of our dating. Was there any doubt that she would be a great mother? But she's so much more than a mother. She always makes me my best, brings out my best all the time. Calls me to a higher standard every single day. And sometimes that's really annoying. But and then there's a woman in high school, actually in college, there's a woman, an unnamed woman in my life, a nurse. And see, the story goes that my friend and I thought it was a brilliant idea to go work out during a Denver blizzard. So we got in his little Geo Metro, small car, big guy, you get the picture. And I'm sitting in the driver's side and he kind of just barely scrapes the window. And I say to him, I said, are you going to scrape the window? You know, we're kind of in a storm. He says, I'm from Canada. Not sure what that means. And then as we drive down the road, of course, he couldn't stop and we get hit by a car and they hit my side. The airbag blows. I have a black eye and I hit my head on the Geo Metro. The Geo Metro literally got squished in half. And so I'm freaking out, as you know, and when you get hit like that from the front and from the side, I have to bust the window out to crawl out, but I didn't realize that my head was bleeding. And all of a sudden, a woman came along, put a blanket over me, put gauze on my head and stopped the bleeding. And all I know is that she was some random nurse that lives in Denver, and then she escorted me into the ambulance. The women that make up our life. We are who we are because of the women who have loved us. So it makes perfect sense to us that early Christianity, the very early revolution of Jesus and of the kingdom of God that started in our world 2,000 years ago, was started by women, was propelled by powerful women, women of faith. So in the Gospel of John, we could look at all of the Gospels and see this. But in the Gospel of John in particular, the first full story we have goes a little something like this. There's a wedding, a big feast, a village-wide feast happening in Cana of Galilee. And at this wedding, the mother of Jesus is there. And along came Jesus and his disciples. They're celebrating this couple that has come together to commit their lives with one another, but there's a problem. They've run out of wine. And so Mary, the mother of Jesus, looks into her son's eye and says, they have no more wine. To which Jesus responds in this way, woman, what is this between me and you? My hour has not come. Now, if we're reading the Bible faithfully at this point, we say, whoa, wait up. My mama never let me call her a woman. And that sounds like a harsh statement. But we'll come back to that. The story goes on, and immediately Mary says to the servants who are there helping with the party, do whatever he tells you to do. So at that point, Jesus tells the servants to pour water into the 6 stone vessels that they have. Huge 20 to 30 gallon vessels. And then he tells them to pour out the vessel. And then he tells them to give the cup to the chief steward. And as he gives the cup to the chief steward is amazed. And the chief steward does this big proclamation to the bridegroom. Wow, we thought this was a pretty average party, but then you just brought out the big time wine and this is an amazing party. Thank you. But what's amazing is then the denouement, or the whole point of the story, goes like this. This is the first of Jesus' signs that he performed in Cana of Galilee. The disciples believed in him and he revealed his glory. So apparently, in this story, only the disciples, the mother of Jesus, and whoever other women were there, and the servants understood it wasn't just the bridegroom that got the wine. It was Jesus who brought the wine. And so we think about that incredible story, and we break down those three. That response of Jesus just kind of nags at me. First of all, the response, woman. Now, you need to know that in the Gospel of John, women play a pivotal role in every place in the whole Gospel. From chapter 1 to chapter 21, women are present. So we have the mother of Jesus in chapter 2, the Samaritan woman who becomes the first evangelist to the world. Martha in chapter 11, who proclaims the words, I am, you are the resurrection and the life. Then we have Mary in 12, woman at the foot of the cross at 19, and then Mary Magdalene at 20. And they're all called woman. So it's as if the Gospel of John highlights the role of women by Jesus saying, woman. Women are indispensable to the early Jesus movement. Women propel the movement forward in the Gospel of John. It's a beautiful thing. But then the second phrase says, what is this between me and you? Very literally. And This is an interesting phrase because if you look at the Old Testament, it basically is creating separation. What are you trying to tell me, Mom? And we can think of this in this sort of adolescent, cross-cultural, across time and space way of Jesus saying, "Oh, Mom, sheesh, how'd you get me into this, Mom?" And in this way, Jesus is, as all our Orthodox Christian creeds proclaim, fully human and fully divine. Jesus is having a human moment here. Maybe he is filled with anxiety over what's ahead of him. Maybe he can't tell clearly what is the next step in this movement he's starting. But Mama knows best. And Mama knows what he needs to do at this moment in time. And then the last phrase, which clarifies it for us, Jesus says, "My hour has not yet come." To which Jesus' mother does not even try to rationalize, to defend, to tell him, "Hey, the world needs you, big guy." The mother just says this. She points at the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Smart mom. Calls him to action. So what is the point of this story? The point of this story is Mama knows best. But the bigger point is that a woman, an average woman who made mistakes and had fears and had failure, set into motion the beautiful ministry and mission of Jesus to the world. A woman was responsible for the tidal wave or the tsunami of early Christianity. We are indebted to this woman who began this beautiful wave that we all inherit. This wave of sustenance, this wave of abundant life for all of us. As we know, the Gospel of John's story continues, and it tells us that Jesus is the bread of life, sustenance for our journey. It tells us that Jesus is the way or the gate, a home for us, hospitality for us. It tells us that Jesus is the light of the world, lighting up the path, illuminating our lives from ways that we have taken that are not correct. That Jesus is the true vine in our life, giving us the power and energy. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life for us. And that Jesus is the way, the path that we take in this life. And that's the seven I Ams of Jesus from the dollar store here in Rifle. So we have this beautiful story of the woman who sets in motion the revolution that becomes Christianity. And as we reflect on how enormous that is, we remind ourselves again that we are who we are because of the women who have loved us. And so on this day, we say to the young mothers, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your countless hours of sacrifice and energy and service. Thank you for raising kids in the right direction that will transform the world. And we say to the grandmothers, we need you. It takes a village to raise a child, and we can't possibly make it without you. We need to find our own space from you, and sometimes we fight you, and sometimes we say we've got to get our own parental groove going on. But we need you. We appreciate the time you give us away from our kids that give us a time to focus, a time to remember what's important. And to the great-grandparents, we say, we respect you. We respect your long journey of life. We respect the wisdom you can give us. We are separate in the seasons of life that we're in as we try to build lives and you are celebrating life. But we respect and value you. We need your wisdom, even though we don't know how to ask for it at times. We need you. And then I say to the women of faith in this room, we say thank you for all those random acts of kindness that make a difference, that make our world spin to the acoustics of God's love. And lastly, to the men, I say this. There is a truth etched in the foundation of the world that we need to grasp. Mama knows best. And the quicker we grasp this, the better our lives will be. As the wise philosopher Damien Sanford once told me at a coffee shop in Anaheim, California, happy wife, happy life. The quicker we grasp this truth, the happier will we be. And lastly this morning, the wine is a symbol of the new age, the dawning of God's love and forgiveness and compassion to the world. All 180 gallons of it in this miracle. It's a sign that love has come, that forgiveness has come, that resurrection can happen no matter the darkest of despair, that our lives don't have to be about mediocrity, but about excellence and character and virtue, the anthem of love exploding in every corner we turn. And it's amazing, as the Bible scholar in our midst, Shirley LeMoyne, just explained to me, that in the beginning of the Gospel of John, it starts with the miracle of the wine. And at the end of the Gospel of John, it concludes with the Lamb, the blood that is shed for every one of us, the lifeblood that energizes us and gives us the resurrection hope in this world. We are who we are because of the women who have loved us. Amen.